today's date is November 7th, 1973. We will be interviewing Mr. Alfred Abelt of West Branch, Michigan. John Jazerski and Dorla Arndt will be doing the interviewing.
As I say, I always did a little writing, but I never submitted it, except once in a while I'd send a form into the Bay City Times and they'd print it, but that was all there was to that. But in 1960, there was an article in the Bay City paper. Robert Bassel was initiating a literary magazine called Voices, and I got interested and I submitted to him, and he liked my work and asked me to come down and talk to him, so I went down and talked to him, and that was the first publication that printed my... Then I started submitting all around the country, and all steps, 70 or 80 different magazines. For instance, New Mexico Quarterly, shortly after that. Had my name on the cover, and when I saw that, I thought I got a little confidence in myself. I,
well, that always helps.
They must like my work, and so then I submitted to Poet Laureate, and by the way, I'm still writing and still submitting. I think I'm writing better now than I ever did. And I don't know if you know Parm Meyer. He teaches at Northwood Institute, and he's listed in this book, Poets of the Midwest, Heartland, and he sent this to me and said he was using it in his teaching at Northwood Institute. Now, he's a Michigan poet, too, Parm Meyer, and Robert Woods is in this, too.
Oh, yeah.
These are letters from Parm Meyer, notes. He says, last night I came across your poem in Summer Poet Laureate. It's a good poem. Congratulations. Good wishes. Continued success. No need to reply. So it was kind of him to write, but Robert Woods is included in this. John Woods. And I was surprised when I got this invitation to attend this reception for him, you know. But I couldn't...
It's hard, but
I couldn't find it. I don't drive at night,
right?
And I felt really sad about not being there because I would have appreciated that. I always save everything like that. And another man that was interested in my work was August Derleth. He is the editor of this Hawk and Whippoorwill. It isn't. By the way, he died recently, about a year and a half ago, and. This was discontinued. This was the last issue, by the way, so it's sort of a collector's item, volume four, number three. And he published only the best poets. You're probably acquainted with William Stafford. Well, William Stafford is in this issue. He said, it amused me, but I was happy for Bill Stafford, who has poems in Hawk and Whippoorwill 9 and 10. He was a friend of William Stafford's, and he says, your poem will be in good company. Larna Beers, Edsel Ford, Amanda Hall, Daniel Smythe, Felix Stefanel, Jesse Stewart, James Hurst, Joseph Joel Keefe, and others are in this one.
Very good.
So I was kind of elated to be published in there, too. And also, I got an invitation... join the American Academy of Political and Social Science. I got the invitation here somewhere. And I sent in my, here it is. It's, officers and directors of the American Academy of Political and Social Science. Cordially invite to membership in the Academy. And I, it's pretty heavy reading, and I join, but the meetings are in Philadelphia. So what are you going to do?
Right.
I'm isolated right. up here. And also, was invited International Platform Association. International Platform Association recommended for membership, and they arrange speaking engagements, reading engagements, so on and so forth. I don't know where they got my name, but they sent me this. Of course, I couldn't take advantage of that either. So I was had a lot of opportunities that I wasn't able to.
Have you read any of your poetry?
No, I have never.
Out or read it aloud? Do you
no.
read it aloud yourself?
No, I'm be a very poor reader.
Well, all it takes sometimes is practice and maybe listening to yourself.
No, I've never read, and I would probably get stage fright or something,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
We hope that you read the Redke poem once.
Read what?
The one that you did for the Redke volume.
Oh, that's a long one.
Right.
And you're acquainted with W.D. Snodgrass, mm-hmm. a letter from him.
Now, did you go to the Redke?
No, I didn't attend.
You didn't attend, even though your poem was in them.
Yes, they wanted to. I have letters in here to the effect about that. Well, somewhere.
Had you written that before the?
Yes, before that.
Had it been published before?
No, that was the first place it was published.
I thought I read it again.
Judson Jerome, you're acquainted with him. He's a critic, and he. College, Yellow Springs, Ohio. He writes poetry and critic. And Dudley Randall would be letters from him. And he liked my work. If you want to read what
he gave you some criticism.
Yes.
Did you agree with some of the comments he made of criticism? Or
Well, I could hardly help it because.
Oh, that's good.
That's heavy proof.
I couldn't believe it, you know.
But
far be it for me to disagree with what he said about my work.
Well,
he wrote in all lines there.
It's your poetry. You can think he's short-sighted if he is. But sometimes, you know, someone really points out the little thing that it needs. And,
well, the only thing he pointed out, he agreed with everything he says, except at the end. I mean, I couldn't believe it was as good as he said it was.
Oh, that's nice.
How did you become interested, or how did you begin writing poetry even before you began to publish?
I never had any idea of ever being a poet, you know, if I am. Because, well, for one thing, I had... very limited education, and when I was younger, I thought, well, if you're going to be a poet, you have to graduate, you have to have a college degree. And
why did you think that? I would think that most poets.
Well,
I'm not in literature, but I would think that most poets merely interpret the world as this.
Well, yes, but I didn't think I was capable. And in those days, it's different than it is now when I was young. I dropped out of high school when I was only 14 years old. Went to work in a factory, Chevrolet Motor Company. Well, I worked in Western Union Telegram first as a messenger boy, and then Chevrolet Motor Company. And I worked there. I got married when I was 20, practically penniless. And I worked there at the Chevrolet Motor Company the time I was 19 until I was 42 years old, punching a clock. Bay City.
Did you do any writing during that time?
Very little. Once in a while, I'd get these inspirations, you might call it, but I didn't do anything with them.
Do you still have those materials?
I might have some. I got so much junk. I'm afraid to dig into it, what I've got piled up in the other room in there. But I really didn't think that I was capable, or, you know, because I just had this inferiority complex about not having an education that I never really attempted. until Mr. Bassel gave me encouragement, said my work was good. Well, then the last 13 years, everything that I accomplished has just been in the last few years. Then X.J. Kennedy, you know who X.J. Kennedy is? Mm-hmm. I've got a personal note from him. This is the only rejection slip I saved. I discarded all the others because it was such a nice one. He liked my work and he wrote to me. And gave me unsolicited advice.
How many poems have you published in the last 13 years?
I don't know. I have my book. I will give you each a copy of my book. And I really don't know how many I've
published. How many are in the book, approximately?
I guess there's about 40, I would guess. But I've had a couple hundred published. Oh. Some places have been published. I've lost, I don't even have a record of it. I don't have the publication they were in or anything. But you know, you're playing with Gene Rosenbaum. Dr. Gene Rosenbaum, Wayne State University. He's a psychiatrist. He published a magazine in Santa Fe, New Mexico, Outcast, and he liked my work. There's a couple of my work appeared in his in Outcast. And just recently, Charles Gunther, I don't know if you're acquainted with him. No, that's an acceptance. That's the kind of acceptance that you get from
nice,
that magazine.
Nice.
It hasn't come out yet. And it just so happened
very
that
good.
I wrote Mr. Odin Goes Home. That was the title of the poem, and he just died recently.
Oh.
And this hasn't been published
timely.
Yet.
Timely. Mm-hmm.
Hasn't been published yet.
Very
this
good.
That magazine is, this is the, his magazine.
Oh, yes.
They publish the best poets.
Very nice. Yes, all the magazines that you're in. Very good.
This gentleman liked my poetry real well, Max Ellison. He wrote me some long letters about it, and he goes on the lecture circuit. This is when he appeared in Essexville, high school in Essexville. I cut it out. I saw the basic paper and cut it out. I've never met the man. He asked me to come up and see him. I invited him here. But he's really enthusiastic about my work. He bought my book. He saw the ad and bought it and wrote me about it. And this is his book. He lives in Bel Air.
How did you get your book published? Did you send to another publisher?
Harlow Press, Detroit. It was a subsidy because I have another manuscript ready, and I think it's far better than my first one. Mm-hmm. I haven't sent it anywhere yet, but I don't have time to go the rounds of the commercial publishers or send it out.
Right.
Because it takes years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that much time. So if I have it published, I'll have to look for like Brandon Press or Oldman Press, Florida. They publish a lot of poetry. And you have to stand the cost of the first edition, you know. And I more than got my money back, the Old Press deal, more than that I had paid for the publishing. And I have quite a few copies left. I haven't sold yet. You only had to sell about 250 copies to get your money back. And the book received was well received, you know, and I'm glad I did it. And I think this other manuscript I got is a lot better.
Good. Have you, did you think of trying Irene Warsaw's publisher, for instance?
That's a sort of a cooperative. I mean, It's a book club, really.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. You have to you buy all the members' books, you know.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that.
See, indirect subsidy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You buy. Mm-hmm. You agree to buy all the books that they publish.
You know. T. S. Eliot and Pound.
But she has
did the same thing.
She has
that's
sold
way to do
a
it.
Lot of copies. Miss Warsaw has.
Yes, I know.
And, she gets around. I could sell a lot of copies if I had been able to get around, you know, and read and do these engagements, which I had the opportunity. My health isn't too good either, you know. and my agent. I just...
Well, I think you've done.
Just haven't
very well.
Been able to get around. This lady, Dorothy Shook, she publishes Poetry Venture magazine. She's published some of my work, and she's interested in publishing my book. I got quite a few letters from her. She also had an invitation to Florida Suncoast Writers Conference. She's helping for you for your interest. When was this? Jesse Stewart was there. January 6th. Well, that was last year, I guess.
Now, all the time you're working then, but not writing, did you read any poetry?
Well, no. That's the funny thing about it. I did an awful lot of reading, but I didn't read much poetry.
What, did you start reading poetry?
I have. What helped me the most was a volume that my daughter bought me, American and British Poets. Syllables and perfect rhyme and so on and so forth. And it wasn't until I read this that I became acquainted with free verse, and that's what I write mostly of now. Mm-hmm. So that was a great...
It's Untermeyer's.
Yeah, Untermeyer's Treasury of Great Poems, English and American. So I guess that...
Is that 1942?
Me. Yes.
Edition?
Yes, 1942. And but I was able to write without, going to school and having a formal education. I was a great reader. By the time I was about 9, 10 years old, till I was about 14, I had time to read. And I used to go to Sage Library. I had a friend of mine who liked to read to him. And we'd go, we were allowed 4 books apiece on a card. He'd get 4 and I would get 4. And I'd read my 4 and give them to him, and he'd read his 4 and give them to me. And sometimes I'd read 2 books a day. I just ate that right up, you know.
I know what you mean.
And I know I averaged 6 or 8 books a week for 5 years from the time I was 9 or 10.
Were you an indiscriminate reader, or did you have a direction?
Yes, everything. Well, Jack London, Zane Grey, Jules Verne, Adventures, and everything I could get my hands on, really. Edgar Rice Burroughs, that really turned me on.
Oh, yeah.
And but I read so much that I was able to write when I wanted to write. I mean, you know, I was a very good speller because I remembered everything. And when I was in grade school, I could spell down anybody in the school. When I was in 6th grade, I spelled the 8th grade down. Just because I read so much, you see. And I completed the 8 grades in 7 years. They skipped me 1 grade and went to high school. I quit there when I was 14 because I had to help support the family. I was the oldest one. And
when was that?
1918. The great flu epidemic. The schools closed down in 1918, just before the end of World War I. And they shut all the schools down because of the epidemic. They practically closed everything up. And I got a job during that time. And when the schools opened up again, that money came in so handy to the family and myself that I just kept on working. So
what was the job?
I was a messenger boy for Western Union at the time. I used to pedal a bike all over Bay City. I knew I could drive all over, ride all over Bay City in the, you know, at night with my eyes shut. I'm so well acquainted with town. Now I'm afraid to drive around town.
It's changed quite a bit.
One-way streets and everything, I'm not acquainted, and I'm afraid to drive around the town. It's just terrible to get that way. You know, I haven't been south of Saginaw in 30 years. I've been reckless, practically, you might say.
It's beautiful up here, though.
That's when you have time to write.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I spend two or three days a week at county business at the county courthouse. I'm a county commissioner. I have been for 20-some years. I've been chairman for the last 13 years of the board. But I'm giving it up because it's getting too much for me. Everything getting so hectic, and at my age, just can't take it anymore. So this is going to be my last term because I don't do the job justice. I should be going to meetings all over the state. I keep sending someone else on the board, you know, to my place, and I'm really not doing the job justice. So give it up. Oh, something else I wanted to show you. I think you might be interested in. I got some other things. I don't know if you're acquainted with James H. Laird. He used to be a Free Press columnist, Dr. James H. Laird. He was an anti-war activist, and he was pastor of this church in Detroit. It's the oldest Protestant church in Detroit, Central Methodist, down Woodward at Grand Circus Park. And he published one of my poems for Christmas deal in there. I was sympathetic with his views, and I wouldn't be surprised in the letters I wrote and, to my congressmen, senators, and newspapers that I'd be on this list, you know, of, that the army was, that they were talking about, but I wouldn't be surprised if my name would be.
You'll never be invited to the White
House. No, no, I won't, not for the views I expressed.
It sounds like you still read quite a bit.
Read? Yeah. Yes, yes.
Do you read in a direction now? Is there anything that you particularly like to read?
No. I read, naturally, I read the publications that my work appears in. Of course, I read everything in the Free Press and the Times. I just subscribe to the Bay City Times. And I follow everything on TV, you know, that's of interest. I mean, I like documentaries and all educational programs. I just wish I could get Channel 19 up here that can't, you know. I would really appreciate it if I
could. They don't have cable TV.
Oh, I can't get Channel 19. And I would really get something out of that. This is one you were talking about.
Yes.
These are the letters that, explaining how I happened to get my work in there. And I get invited to Writers' Conference at the University of Michigan, and I don't go to any of them, you know. I just read it.
Do you know Redkin's work very well?
No, I've read just a few of his poems. No, I'm not too well acquainted. His work is kind of difficult. It's a little different than mine, actually. And
can you two talk about that a little bit?
The reason I wrote about, because he was a native of Saginaw.
I thought you got a lot of understanding of his work in the poem.
Well, he was growing up in the Saginaw Valley about the same time I was. I'm a little older than he was. He was in his teens probably when I was 20 or 21. I'm probably about 5 years older than he was. But I could appreciate reading about, I read quite a bit about him, what his interests were, and I could appreciate it. He grew up in the valley, you know, you don't call it a valley, but that's what they call it. So that's where I got the idea of the poem. You know, I thought, well, he must have seen the same things I did. Of course, I went to work in a factory, and he went to the University of Michigan, so that was the difference. So that's how I happened to write that poem. And here's something else, too, that I was very proud of. This is a yearbook from Milford High School, 1966, and they wrote me and asked if they could use one of my poems. Now, I don't know anybody there. I've never been to the town, but they saw my poem, the Free Press, and they wanted to use it. Now, they divided this up in three sections, spring, fall, and winter. And for spring, they used a poem by Robert Frost. For winter, they used a poem by Robert Frost. And for fall, they used one of my poems.
Oh, nice.
And this is my poem there, and that's the illustration they put in. I'm really proud of that. This was a poem that was in the preprints. They saw that, and that gave them the idea, and they wrote me and asked permission.
Oh, that's good. Does this have a title?
Yes. Called it The Runner. It's
the
poem that was in the preprints.
Mm-hmm.
Called The Runner, and they had a... company when they take two poems by Frost and one of mine and they use it in their year of life. And the Free Press is the letter I had from the Free Press. I don't know about these letters. Now, would you be interested in taking these? You know what I would like, if possible? I would like a Xerox copy for my own use if I could. Now, there's no... I've been thinking about this for some time. I'm thinking about making Xerox copies. I'm laid awake at night sometimes. I'm a worrier, and I thought, what if this place burns down and everything burns up and all this is lost, you know, and I hate to lose it. And that's what gave me the idea, if I could put it someplace where it would be preserved. And then if I could only have a Xerox, I would give you the originals, if I could have a Xerox copy for myself to show to somebody if they happen to come.
Certainly.
Nobody ever comes. Nobody visits. I don't go anywhere. I'm isolated from the literary world, you know.
You managed to penetrate it pretty well, I think.
Well, I mean, from personal confrontations. I mean, to meet with people, just through correspondence, the contact I've had with them.
I don't think there wouldn't be any problem at all.
Well, I'd feel very good about it if I turn these letters, some of these letters. These aren't all of them. I've got some more, but probably enough for them for now. And if I could just have Xerox copies.
We can continue to correspond about these things because, as I told you, I'm also interested in, let's say, for example, the way you go about constructing a poem, the way you write. I think our students could learn an awful lot. Let's say, eventually, at some time, should you wish to turn over things like your notes to us, and that, so that we could take a student and sit down with him and create a writing class.
I'll look him up. But, you know, I don't work hard at writing. I don't work at it, really. Sometimes I'll go a couple of weeks without writing anything at all, and I won't be thinking about writing anything at all. Somewhere or other, an idea, maybe something happens that turns me on to something, you know, I start thinking about it, and just naturally I write it, and I would say an hour is all I would spend on a poem, and no revisions. I don't revise, very seldom revise, except sometimes there's a word that just doesn't quite mean what I want it to. It's in the general area, but it just doesn't mean what I want, and I'll get the dictionary out and look at the synonyms, you know, and see what other word I could find that would best suit what I meant. But otherwise, I'm ashamed of myself that I don't sit down and write, you know. I just, this just comes to me, and it's effortless, you might say. So I don't know.
Do you use a thesaurus, too, or just a dictionary, yeah?
Yeah, and very seldom that, just when I...
So you must have an extensive vocabulary stored away there.
Just where I don't have it like I did. I mean, when you get my age, you don't remember as good as...
we're at the end of one slide here.
But at one time, I really had a good memory. I can, of all the reading I did, that's where I...